The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes people will ask me during the week what my sermon for the Sunday following is going to be about. And that happened this time. And I said the title of the sermon is Deck Chairs. And they wondered what that had to do with the gospel reading for today. And someone said, well, I think of deck chairs on a cruise ship, and you're there by the pool or on one of the other decks, you're in the sun, you're enjoying the sea breeze, the sight of the ocean, and it's so very relaxing, and that's what the gospel does. And yeah, that could be an illustration of the rest and the peace that God gives us through the gospel of forgiveness, but that is not what I was thinking of. Here's what I was thinking of. The Titanic. Yeah, that great, luxurious cruise ship. The ship that none other had been built like at that time. And the designer and builder said God himself could not sink this ship. So on its maiden voyage, guess what? Iceberg. The ship sunk. You've heard the phrase, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And the Titanic has hit an iceberg. It's drawing water. It's listing to one side. It cannot be saved. And what would you think if the people on board did not respond to the crisis, but busied themselves? Oh, let's make sure these deck chairs are lined up nicely and neatly. Let's make sure they're all in their proper place. And those other people, those women and children who might face death in the icy waters of the North Atlantic, forget about them. Let's get the deck chairs all in place as neat as a pin. The reason I'm talking about deck chairs in this sermon is on account of the first verse in today's gospel reading. Now, immediately prior to today's gospel reading, in Mark's gospel, Jesus has been transfigured. Earlier, Peter had confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told the disciples that he, the Son of God, was going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and suffer horribly, and die, and be raised on the third day. And Peter, God love him, Peter says, forget this, Lord. No way, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. And he said to Peter and the other disciples, hey, not only is this going to happen to me, it's supposed to happen to you too. For you are to deny yourself. You are to take up your cross daily and follow me. And then they're coming on down the mountain of transfiguration where Jesus, the one who is going to suffer and die, is glorified wonderfully, marvelously, and people see, the disciples see Moses and Elijah with him, and God's voice speaks. This is my son, listen to him. So down, Jesus and Peter, James, and John come from the mountain, and that's where today's gospel picks up. When they all came to the disciples, the other nine, they saw a great crowd around these other disciples and the scribes, the experts in the law, arguing with those other disciples. And I'm sure the other disciples were arguing back. Now think about this. Peter has just confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. As the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus is God made man. Jesus is the one in whom the forgiveness of the world's sins It's all wrapped up. The salvation from hell, the rescue from sin, death, and the devil, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. God the Father has attested to who Jesus is by saying, "This is my Son. Listen to him." And that is the important thing. That is what counts in the Holy Christian Church. Jesus and the gospel of his forgiveness. And when we focus on anything else, we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We don't know what the scribes were arguing with the disciples about. We do know a great crowd was around them, enjoying the brawl, enjoying the feud, enjoying the fuss. But Jesus does not like it. He asked them, the disciples, the scribes, probably the disciples, he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them? Why do you waste your time?" That is beside the point, because I'm going to teach you what is most important. And Jesus proceeds to do that in the things that follow. Someone from the crowd answered Jesus, "Well, teacher, I brought my son to you, but you were gone up the mountain somewhere. You see, my son has a spirit, a demon that makes him mute. He can't speak." Jesus, we hear later, he can't hear. "This demon gets a grip on my son. It seizes him. He's in bondage. And when it does so, it throws him down to the ground. And he has a fit. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. He can't move until the fit of demonic oppression is over. So I came to your disciples. I heard you sent them out with others to heal, to proclaim the word, to cast out demons. I thought they could help him, but they were not able to." This man with the poor, possessed son who was thrown down by the demon that seized him, and he foamed and he ground his teeth. He became rigid, catatonic. He knew what was important. He knew that Jesus didn't come to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. Jesus came to liberate people in the bondage of sin, death, and the devil. He came to set the captives free. He came to help those who need help. And whether we recognize it or not, whether we will admit to it or not, we all need Jesus' help. Each one of you, me, the people out there who go to other churches, all Christians need help. But the people who don't go to church at all, the people who never hear the good news of Christ's forgiveness, the people outside the walls of this and other churches who may be suffering in some horrible way, who may be gripped, seized by despair, because a loved one is desperately ill and is not getting better. Someone who has trouble making both ends meet. Someone who, apart from faith in Christ, is going to be in the devil's grip forever. Someone who needs to hear the gospel to be helped by Jesus. Jesus answered them all, the disciples, the crowd, the scribes, the man who had asked for help for his son. He answered them all, "O faithless generation, O generation of people, O race of people who are without faith, how long am I to be with you?" If you don't hear Jesus's groaning in that question, in that statement, if you don't hear his frustration, maybe even his disappointment, maybe even his despair, you aren't listening to it. Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you, to bear with you? Bring him to me. You know, someone brought you to Jesus. Parents who had you baptized, who saw that you were in church to hear and learn his word. Someone brought you to Jesus by inviting you to church so you could hear the gospel of good news. Someone brought you to Jesus so that you now believe. So they brought this boy to Jesus, and when the Spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground, and he rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And look at this, look at this. It looks like Jesus didn't do him any good at all. It looks like the devil had won. That Jesus and all he came to do was futile. That's what it looked like. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. You and I were sinners in need of the grace of the gospel from the time our mother conceived us in her womb. It's what Psalm 51 says. Sinful from birth, sinful from the time our mother conceived us. Everyone needs Jesus and his mercy and his gospel and his forgiveness, no matter their age, from childhood. And this demon has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. Into fire, imagine. They cooked on fires back then. The demon would throw this boy into the fire and he would be horribly burned, disfigured, scarred, I'm sure, crying out in pain and agony even after the demon had left him, or into water to drown him. This demon, this unclean spirit from hell, was out to destroy this boy, out to destroy his young life. So the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And he seeks to destroy the gospel. He seeks to destroy your faith in Christ. He seeks to lure you into his kingdom of darkness so that you may dwell with him forever. But listen to this. The demon cast this boy into fire and into water, but Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. The fire of judgment, yes, but also the fire of the Holy Spirit who appeared above the disciples' head at Pentecost as tongues of fire. Jesus goes on to say, I have a baptism, water, to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. See, Jesus is saying right here, in the face of this boy's suffering, that he came to suffer. He came to experience anguish and agony to set us captives free from the devil. He came to pay the price of forgiveness and salvation and mercy and rescue for you. And he was destroyed on the cross under God's wrath for you, for your sake. But look at this. Jesus has placed his Holy Spirit upon you. You are baptized into his death and resurrection. You aren't cast into the fire and into water by a malicious, destructive demon. The fire of the Spirit has been placed upon you so you can believe by a gracious and merciful Savior, You have been cast into the water of your baptism, so your sins are washed away, and you are now clean and acceptable to God. So the father goes on to say, but if you can do anything, look at him there, lying on the ground, twisting, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help appears twice in today's gospel reading. It appears in the Old Testament reading. Let him who walks in darkness and has no light, as this boy, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Help. God is a helper to those who believe. God is merciful and gracious to those who believe. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us right where we are, right here, right in your situation in life, right in this congregation situation. So Jesus says to the Father, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And here is where it hits the road for us. Immediately upon hearing Jesus' statement, all things are possible for one who believes, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Does he believe or is he a doubter? Does he have faith or does he not have faith? He recognizes that he is in the middle, that sometimes he's one, sometimes he's the other. Sometimes he's hot, sometimes he's cold. But he cries out to Jesus for help in that very situation, as you and I should, because sometimes we are hot, sometimes we are cold. Sometimes our faith is strong. Sometimes we wonder if it even exists at all. Sometimes we look to Jesus and sometimes we look at that boy rolling around on the ground, foaming at the mouth and saying, where is God and his mercy? Where is Jesus? I believe. Help my unbelief. So here comes the crowd. Oh boy, we're going to see something good. So Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit. He speaks the word of God, for he is the word made flesh for your salvation to this unclean spirit. He rebukes it strongly, saying, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Oh boy, Jesus is at last doing something. But look what happens. After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. So much for Jesus. Looks like the devil won. The boy is dead. He didn't do anything to help this man, to help this boy. So much for Jesus. Look at this. Look at Christ's betrayal and death on the cross. Look at how the disciples doubted. They had had faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he had been betrayed. He had been nailed to a cross. That's no way for the Messiah to come to an end. God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you, but it did happen. And he was dead. He was buried in the tomb 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. Apparent defeat. But out of that apparent defeat, God brought life because he raised his son from the dead on the third day in the body. We confess it in the creed. The scriptures teach it. He raised him up for you after he had suffered and died for you. He was raised up for your justification to deliver you out of the kingdom of the devil's darkness and to bring you into the kingdom of his light and his grace and his mercy. The light and grace and mercy of the one who suffered and died for you to take your sins away and who was raised up in triumph on the third day. boy seemed dead. That's what people thought. But Jesus took him by the hand as he had taken that little girl, Jairus' daughter, who was dead, by the hand to raise her up. And he lifted this boy up and he arose. He wasn't dead. He was alive. He was delivered. He was set free. He had a new life. So in the gospel, Jesus has taken hold of your hand and lifted you up, and you have arisen to a new life of faith and forgiveness and hope in Christ. That is what counts. It's what this church exists for. It's what you give your offerings for. I want to tell you something. If you aren't giving your offerings for that, keep them in your pocket. Don't give them. If you're given merely to keep this church afloat, you've missed the point. You're rearranging the deck chairs. Your time, your treasures, your talents are given for the main thing, for the spread of the gospel of Christ, to help hurting, suffering sinners in their need, to bring that word of life to them, not only here to all of us, but in our community, and indeed in all the world. That is the main thing. And anything else, we're just spinning our tires. We're just rearranging those deck chairs. Jesus, the one who helps. I'll wrap it up now because I've been preaching a long time. It's a long text. I hear chuckles and laughter. Hey, we're almost finished. Let's go outside for recess. Jesus entered the house, and his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." You know what prayer is? It's letting God know you need him. Hey, God knows that already because he's given his son for you. He's given the word and the sacraments for you. He's given what you partake of today, Christ's body and blood. The main thing, the important thing. But when you pray to God, you're asking for help. You're saying, "I can't make it alone." And the disciples thought they could. Hey, we've cast out demons before. We can take on this guy. No, they couldn't. They were cocky. They were self-assured. They were full of themselves. Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, actually shoving those chairs off into the water. So it is with us. We too sometimes get cocky and self-assured. Not the way it works. It only works with Christ. The main thing, his gospel, his word, his sacraments, in central position for you, for me, and for all the people outside, for the hurting people, the suffering people, the lost people, the despairing people, the people who walk in darkness. That's the main thing. Jesus for them as he is for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.